Chase and Michelle on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome in. I'm Michelle Knezevic. Chase McCabe taking a little vacation today. We got Junie Riddle in with us. You can hear Michelle and Junie on Saturdays from 9 to 11. Junie will be in with us from 9 to 11 today, tomorrow, and then we will also be here Saturday. Nick Keyser behind the board. Nick, how are we doing this morning?
Doing great, guys. Had a good show with Robbie last night.
Yes, Preds Insiders. Not going to talk Preds today because they are on the All-Star break. So usually on Thursdays at 9:45, we have Greg Wyshynski at 9:45 for our Preds Power Play. He's taking the week off with the All-Star break, getting a little break, but we'll be back in action once the Preds are back in action. But Junie, we have got a lot to talk about today. A lot going on in the NFL as a whole, nationally, a lot of quarterback movement. The biggest story for a while now is Tom Brady retires yesterday. Again, retired February 1st, 2020, and now retired again February 1st, 2023 on the same day. Is it real this time? Is it not real? I think a lot of people are believing it a little bit more as he posted the video. But Teddy Bruschi, his former teammate with the Patriots back when the glory days up there in New England, had some comments on Tom Brady retiring and how football is going to look a little different without him. We're going to get that Teddy Bruschi comment in a second. But Junie, you know, just your thoughts on, you know, Tom Brady, his retiring. Do you believe it? Rob Gronkowski had a funny tweet earlier this morning, and he said something like, you know, Tom, I already wrote you the long post, but congrats on joining the retired twice club.
No, and I think Rob Gronkowski, he's just a guy that's always going to push Tom Brady's buttons. But, you know, with the lack of emphasis on it this time around, I think it kind of gives it a little bit more sincerity. Like, you know, I kind of went through and gave my spiel last year about how, you know, I was done. And I think when you look at last year, he led the NFL in passing yards in 2021. And he still looked like a perennial top five QB last year. But, you know, with all the free agents that left the Buccaneers, you know, they ran it back with their Super Bowl team in 21. They still looked really good. You know, they were really competing with the Rams, who wound up winning the Super Bowl last year in the playoffs, almost came back and beat them. I think Tom Brady looked at that and said, you know, I still got something left in me, and I want to come back and do this. And especially with the whole Miami Dolphins controversy, it really seemed like he wanted to go there because he knew that they were going to have a better roster this year. But when that fell through the cracks and that busted and he had to come back to Tampa Bay, you lose your starting center, Ryan Jensen. You have injuries all up and down the offensive line along with him. And this Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense was nowhere near as good as it was in years past. So, you know, Brady saw the writing on the wall, I feel like, and he was looking at his options on where he could go next year. And I just feel like he truly believes that there was no option out there that he could either go to or, you know, stick with Tampa to where he could be competing for a Super Bowl. And if he's not competing for a Super Bowl, I don't think Brady would want to even entertain playing. And he would rather go out on his own terms, you know, still playing at a decently high level.
I agree. He's only going to join a team that is Super Bowl ready if he wants to try to join another franchise and win that third ring. The 49ers were a name that was starting to gain some traction with Brady, you know, the connection of him growing up there, the Brock Purdy injury we found out yesterday. But now Tom Brady retiring, you can believe it's true. You can believe it's not true. I do believe that, you know, within these next couple months, we will hear some chatter from some teams trying to reach back out to him. But as I said before, Teddy Bruschi spoke on Tom Brady, what he has meant to this game. Here's Teddy Bruschi on Tom
Brady. I think the league is going to be different now without the standard being there at the quarterback position. Man, it's not shocking, but still, you never know what's coming. I know we had the whole thing last year also that he was retiring and then he came back. Is this real? I think it's absolutely real if he's saying this is time. I mean, 45 years old, what he's done has been absolutely incredible. I know he didn't want to end this way. I know he would rather have ended with a deeper run in the playoffs, but I think his old belief of the next championship, okay? The best championship is always the next one. And I think now he can finally sort of look back and say that all of them were great and they were all his favorites. So, I mean, it's something that you know, we're all going to miss watching him play, but I congratulate him on such a fantastic career, and I'm happy for my friend.
So that was Teddy Bruschi, played with actually him, Mike Vrabel. Bruschi, Mike Vrabel, Tom Brady, and those, you know, 05, 06 teams, they all want to ring together. But just some nice words on Tom Brady and him having that personal connection with Tom and saying, you know, I do think that it is real this time that he is done. But with Tom Brady retiring, announcing that yesterday, there is going to be a lot of shakeup in the free agency quarterback market, Junie. A lot of people were talking of landing spots for Tom Brady. Now that he's out of the equation, you've got an Aaron Rodgers, you've got a Derek Carr. There was a report earlier this week, Ian Rapoport said that the Ravens are looking to franchise tag Lamar Jackson. A lot of quarterback movement that could be happening this offseason. Aaron Rodgers now controls a lot of it. Where do you think that, what team do you think could go, you know, full force on trying to get a guy like Aaron Rodgers?
A guy like Aaron Rodgers, we were talking about this because, you know, I was sitting with you while you were producing Robbie and Rexor this morning, and the popular team that everyone's talking about is the Jets. You know, the Jets seem like they're a roster that's a QB away, and they have an owner that's willing to go out and pay the price to go get Aaron Rodgers. For me, I just wouldn't sleep on the Indianapolis Colts. And I just think Jim Irsay, plain and simple, would bite the bullet on this one. And I think that they, as an organization and where they are and how desperate they are to kind of get back into relevancy, would be willing to give up a pick like the number 4 overall pick that they hold right now in the first round. So I would say Indianapolis would be a sleeper because, you know, they kind of – I know their offensive line didn't perform up to the standards that we have seen the last 4 years this year, but they're still a couple plug-and-plays away from being an elite offensive line. You still got Quentin Nelson in the mix there. You got Jonathan Taylor, who won the rushing title in 21. Michael Pittman Jr. is a good receiver. Alec Pierce showed a lot of promise this year. And the Colts have had a pretty solid defense as well with a good pass rush. So, you know, also his relationship with McAfee. McAfee's an Indy. McAfee's constantly, you know, in the ear with Colts management, trying to talk them into things. So I think there's a
connection. Hanging out in Indy there.
I think there's a connection there. And I just, if Aaron Rodgers were to go to the Jets after seeing the Jets trade for Brett Favre and then him literally following the same suit as Brett Favre, I don't know. I don't necessarily seeing it happen. And I think a team going out and getting Nathaniel Hackett's going to be 0-2 on getting Rodgers.
I agree with you on that, Junie. I know that the Jets are the front runner, but whenever we talk about quarterback free agency and where what's going to happen in the offseason, I feel like, you know, the obvious team never happens, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Remember last year, it's like, Aaron Rodgers, it's got to be the Broncos. Mm-hmm. And then when Russell Wilson got traded there, everybody was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Where did that come out of?
Well, it happened simultaneously on the same day. You know, the Packers, he announced that he was going back to the Packers, and it was like an hour later that the Broncos traded for Russell Wilson. And then Schefter comes out and says, no, the Denver said that Russell was their guy all along. I was like, listen, you can't say that. And I know that you have to say that, but Schefter's not affiliated with the teams, you know?
He just has agents in his ears.
I know, but it's so obvious that the same day, a few hours separated from each other, that Rodgers decides to go back to Green Bay, and then obviously Denver had a backup plan with Seattle. I mean, it's clear as day that they wanted him, and especially after you hire the OC that led Aaron to back-to-back MVPs. I mean, it was right there on the page, but
The ironic thing is that happened to the Denver Broncos again this year. They wanted D'Amico Ryans as their head coach. They said that was their number one choice. The Houston Texans go ahead and hire him, and then later that day they announced that Sean Payton will be their new head coach.
Yeah.
The Broncos just getting the short end of the stick.
The Broncos just sound like a guy desperate for a date. You know, they're just trying they're trying to shoot for the stars. But they end up, you know, going down to their second or third option, and then they try to hype it up to sound like they're going to make it work. But when it comes down to Aaron Rodgers, you know, Green Bay has already said they're not going to trade him within the NFC. So to me, that leaves the Raiders, the Jets, and the Colts. And I just don't see the fit with the Raiders. I know Devontae Adams is there. He's probably going to be pushing for that. But when it comes to, you know, Josh McDaniels and Aaron Rodgers, I just don't see those two mixing in well as a quarterback-coach relationship. I really think it's between the Colts and the Jets and whichever owner's willing to pay the bigger price to Green Bay. I think that's the deal that they're going to wind up going with.
Well, Aaron Rodgers isn't the only quarterback on watch this offseason. There's another veteran quarterback who will not be in the same place that he was this year. Junie and I will discuss that on the other side. Plus, we've got a trivia question to win some Adam Sandler tickets coming up on Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
I wish you guys could see Jimmy being back, and if so, what would that look like?
No, I don't see any scenario of that. Yeah, no, I gotcha.
That was Kyle Shanahan yesterday when asked if Jimmy Garoppolo would be back with the 49ers next year, and his answer was pretty clear. No, I don't see a scenario where Jimmy Garoppolo could be back. Welcome back into Chase and Michelle. I'm Michelle Knezevic. Junie Riddle in for Chase McCabe today while he is out on a little vacation. We got Nick Kieser with us on the ones and the twos. As soon as I saw that piece of audio on Twitter, I texted both of you. I said, we are talking about this on the show tomorrow. Kyle Shanahan, not leaving anything up to imagination. Clear. The reporter goes, Jimmy, do you think it'll be... Kyle Shanahan says, no. He goes, Garoppolo. He's like, yeah, no, I know, Jimmy Garoppolo. No, I mean, he's not going to be on the team.
Kind of the same thing from last year, too. I mean, they said the exact same thing, really. And Jimmy came out and like, gave a farewell to, you know, 49ers Nation and all that. I mean, he genuinely thought he was gone last year. So the fact that they went out and found a guy with the last pick in the draft that has proven that, you know, when he's put into the system – he looks better than Jimmy G. And then you spend all that draft capital to trade up and go get Trey Lance. I mean, it's pretty obvious. You know, you got two guys, two young guys, that are probably going to be battling it out, especially since Brock Purdy has that injury that's going to likely keep him out up until, you know, the beginning of the season, maybe through the first couple games of the season, that it's going to be really a competition and a storyline for the next year, maybe even longer, to see who's going to be the quarterback of the future for the 49ers. Because with the roster they have and the coach they have, I mean, this is going to be the most important decision for that organization going forward. And out of the three, I mean, Jimmy G, you've had your chance. You've been the starter for the last couple of years. You've gotten injured numerous times and cost this team plenty of years. It's time for both sides to move on. And, you know, I get the reporters doing his job to ask the question, but, I mean, it's kind of self-explanatory.
Well, I also like the fact that Kyle Shanahan didn't give, you know, a wishy-washy answer and just said, you know, nope, I don't see any plans, because they know that they either want to go grab somebody in free agency. But what makes this more interesting is the fact that Brock Purdy looks like he might have to have Tommy John surgery, which is really common in baseball. You know, you watch that replay of his arm going back, similar to a pitcher. And it was funny because my – not funny, but it was just ironic because my dad called me after the game, and he was watching it with one of his best friends who played baseball his entire life. Mm-hmm. His son's a pitcher, right, very, very familiar with the game of baseball and, you know, the ins and the outs, and his son will probably go pro someday. And he said, you know, Michelle, Jim looked at me and said, oh – that guy's going to need Tommy John. And I'm like, there's no way he was throwing on the sideline. There's no way. If he was throwing that ball on the sideline, and even that short little pass he threw towards the end of the game, I mean, if he ends up having to have that surgery, that must have hurt so bad when he's trying to push through Brock Purdy.
I'm surprised, you know, I mean, obviously they had to.
I would have put Christian Kirk out there. He probably would have given you a better chance. I mean, it's the unfortunate truth.
I definitely agree. I think Christian McCaffrey would have been a better option at that point. But, you know, it was just tough. I mean, it's tough for the 49ers. You know, the fact that you lost Trey Lance in the second game of the season, the fact that, you know, Jimmy G came back to be this team's backup. He had been with the team for years, and it looked like they were going to be rolling with him. And then he gets hurt, and then Brock Purdy saves your season, really winning seven games in a row to end the regular season, wins you a playoff game. two playoff games, I should say. And then he goes down in the biggest game of the year to go to the Super Bowl. I mean, you can't expect that kind of luck. So like I said, you know, with this talent level on this team, you know, this is a Super Bowl caliber defense. This is the number one defense all year long. This is a top five offensive line. They have two solid receivers. They have a top three tight end in the league. I would say if you're counting blocking, he's the best overall tight end in the league.
Christian McCaffrey.
There's too much talent on this team to mess up the quarterback position. And this team only has a certain window. And it's what they're going to do next year is going to be very pivotal, I think, for the future of this entire organization.
Well, and I look at the 49ers, too, as, you know, it's the most – it's the best landing spot for – you know, maybe an older free agent quarterback.
But do you think they would do that though? Trey Lance got hurt in week two. I think that he could be ready for the beginning of the season. Brock Purdy, likely not.
He got
injured, you know, late January, borderline February.
Well, and even, I mean, if it is the Tommy John surgery, that's an entire year. So he would miss, you know, the entire next season and be back probably around this time next year, which, you know, this is the Super Bowl.
My thing is, if they were to go out and get a veteran quarterback, then I feel like they would have to trade Trey Lance.
Yeah.
I think send that message of moving up and spending three draft picks to move up in the first round and go get your guy. And then when he's eligible to play after he was already named the starter in the beginning of this mm-hmm. season, if you're going to go out and get a guy when he's eligible to play, like, that's basically you giving up on him. Like, he's got to go.
But do you think they think he's already too far behind? Like, their team is ready now. That 49ers team, I mean, we saw it this year. They're ready now. And Brock Purdy, you know, yeah, I get it. He was Mr. Irrelevant. He also was a rookie. But he did make plays out there. You know, you can't just put anyone in that offense. They need to be able to hold their own. You don't need an elite quarterback like a Patrick Mahomes. I mean, we saw Jimmy G take him to the Super Bowl, and we almost saw Brock Purdy take him to the Super Bowl. But do you think that Trey Lance is already, you know, too far behind with the injuries, and they're like, okay, you know, we're ready now, and we don't have the time, you know, for a guy like Trey Lance who he gets hurt, and then he's out for a year, and then after wasting – well, not wasting if they are going to, you know, choose him, but, you know, spending all of this to go get him.
I mean, that's just part of playing in this league. Injuries happen every week.
Of course,
so
but, I mean, a guy who hasn't been able to be on the field since you've mortgaged to get him.
That's something that John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan, they have to already know that. They have to already have a plan, you know, set in stone. Like, do you go out and get, you know, a Derek Carr or a Baker Mayfield, is that really better than a young Trey Lance who has, you know, a big time arm? Like, he has a really good arm. He's very mobile, you know? I just think with his talent and the way that Kyle Shanahan can harness QB talent, I mean, we've seen it with Jimmy G. I think Jimmy G on any other team is not putting up nowhere near numbers. Brock Purdy, if he were to get drafted, let's say Purdy went in the first round, let's say, you know, people saw his talent, he went earlier in the draft, he went to a different roster. I mean, we're not talking about Brock Purdy the same way that we're talking about him now. I believe this, and I've argued with a lot of people, and I have a bunch of Kansas City Chiefs fans that I'm friends with, that Kyle Shanahan is the best offensive coach in the NFL, even better than Andy Reid, because of what he can do and how he can put the quarterback in such a good situation. There's nobody better at it. And I think when you see the tools that Trey Lance has, his mobility, his big arm, he's a smart kid. I think I feel like they would have to go and stick with him with how much they've have invested in him. Whether or not you think that it's been too long, he's still been around. He's still been learning. and he still has the traits to be a really good quarterback in this league. I just don't see, with what they have invested in him, them moving off for an older guy like a Derek Carr or somebody like that. I just don't see it.
Well, the 49ers also had the luxury of, even though they wanted to move off Jimmy G this past season, still ending up signing him, having him as the backup, having Trey Lance get hurt, then Jimmy was easily able to step in, and then Jimmy gets hurt, Brock Purdy was able to step in. But Tim on the text line, Tim from Spring Hill, he has an interesting take. With the GOAT out of the picture, I would attempt signing Derek Carr. Watched him at Fresno. He's talking about the Tennessee Titans.
Is he?
Nope, sorry. He's talking about the 49ers. With the GOAT out of the picture, I would attempt signing Derek Carr. Watched him at Fresno State and felt he was a top 15 with the Raiders. Was clear Carr and McDaniels had issues. The Niners have what they need to win a Super Bowl with the current state of the roster, but they cannot win with Lance, who is an unproven commodity.
That's, I mean, you put Derek Carr on the 49ers. It's a really interesting conversation because Derek Carr has a really good arm as well, and he's been around the league.
And you know what you're going to get from Derek Carr. That's the difference. Trey Lance still is that mystery box, right? You know, you saw what he could do in college briefly.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't really able to play that last year.
But can the 49ers afford Derek Carr? That's the real question. Can they afford to go out and get this guy? I mean, what, he's like a $32, $33 million quarterback. Can they afford to go out and pay a guy like that?
Well, I mean, it's going to depend on, are the Raiders going to cut him or are they going to trade him?
That is also very true.
That's going to play a big factor into if they can go and get him.
And that's the thing, is like, teams are going to leverage that as well, knowing that, you know, they're wanting to trade him. They might just wait. You know, this happens a lot. You know, teams that don't want to go out and spend assets, I mean, they're just going to hold off and wait till he gets to the open market. And I don't think he has a big cap hit, so I don't think it would be huge for the 49ers to go out and get him. But
it's Derek Carr's in an interesting position too, because you know, he's mid to older in the league, but you know, if he sees that, hey, I could go to a team like the 49ers, would he be willing to, you know, take a smaller salary, because you do have the chance of, you know, getting to the Super Bowl with that team. You see how put together that team is, you know, a good organization. You got Kyle Shanahan and you have a lot of pieces around you. You know, it would depend a lot on him. And I think, you know, he definitely would probably want that, considering probably had a little bit of an ego hit in Las Vegas with the Raiders this past year, and just, you know, just a big blown up season. But a lot of interesting things happening in this QB market. We're going to continue the conversation on how this relates to the Tennessee Titans. Also going to talk about the Senior Bowl going on in Mobile, Alabama. But I teased this before we headed into this segment. We have got some Adam Sandler tickets to give away. And I am stealing a trivia question from Trivia with the Stars last night. Junie and I were there. Willie Donick was the host. We had a great time. Caroline Fenton, D-Mace was there. We had a great time.
We beat him.
We did. We beat them by one. We had a great time at Trivia with the Stars, and Willie did a great job hosting. But this was the final Jeopardy question, or the final wager question. And if you know the answer, you need to be the first caller at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. It's a sports question and a business question. Which jewelry company is responsible for making the Lombardi Trophy, the trophy they give away at the Super Bowl? Which jewelry company is responsible for making that? Call Nick at 615-737-1025. We'll get you some Adam Sandler tickets. On the other side, how does this quarterback free agent market affect the Tennessee Titans? You're listening to Chase and Michelle, 1025, 1063, The Game. Nick with the tunes today. Welcome back in, Chase and Michelle. I'm Michelle Knezovic. No Chase McCabe today. He's on vacation. And I hope you are enjoying some nice weather, Chaser. We got Junie Riddle in with me today. We will be in today, 9 to 11, tomorrow, 9 to 11, and every Saturday, 9 to 11. Nick Kieser's got the tunes, got me dancing back here today. Waking me up. I need another coffee. I've been up kind of long this morning.
I feel like I'm in the club, Nick, man. It's a Thursday morning, dude. I don't know how to react.
This is awesome. This is, I had so much time yesterday, and this is where it all goes.
Listen, I'm a dad now. I don't know how that feels anymore. My clubbing days are over.
His clubbing days are over. Well, switching over to some NFL. I don't really know how to transition from that, but that's okay, guys. I talked about some of the quarterbacks who are looking to maybe land at a different team this offseason. And Junie, you and I were talking off air for a second, and you looked at me when I asked you this question. You said, I'm going to give you my answer on air. So I'll ask you the question again. We talked a lot about Trey Lance, the 49ers, where their team is at right now. The Tennessee Titans are at a completely different situation. They're nowhere near, you know, a Super Bowl caliber team. Lost the last 7 games. Injuries. Their defense, though, when you look at both sides of the team, their defense, when healthy, the little asterisks, when healthy, I would say top 6 defense in the NFL. You know, you get Harold Landry back.
Comfortably, it's top 10. It's
comfortably it's top, 10. Top 10. I would push it, you know, to top 6. But the offense, completely different situation. You know, they ranked last in a lot of the offensive categories this year. What if the Tennessee Titans proposed a trade that included Ryan Tannehill to the 49ers for Trey Lance? Ryan Tannehill, a veteran quarterback, he's proven that he can succeed in a similar offense. With all of those pieces up there in San Francisco, that is the epitome of being great around Ryan Tannehill. And it's a guy that they know what they're going to get from, and they know that, you know, he's been in playoff situations and a guy that they could put in this offense and, I would say, succeed.
I like it. I honestly do. And listen, you know, I'm not a proponent of bringing back Ryan Tannehill. And it has nothing to do with Tannehill's talent level. I think this team can win with Tannehill. I just don't think that's the direction that they would want to go. I think you either go and trade and get a young guy like a Trey Lance, or you move off Tannehill and then try and go get your quarterback of the future. So this would kind of fall in line with what I would want the Titans to do. So, yeah, and I think it works out for both parties because here's the deal, and here's what I've been saying about Ryan Tannehill, is he's a good enough quarterback that can win you games in the regular season, but he's not going to be a quarterback that wins you games in the playoffs. If you put Ryan Tannehill in the NFC on a roster like San Francisco, he is going to win you playoff games. I mean, look at the quarterbacks that were playing in the NFC this year. We're talking Kirk Cousins, Daniel Jones, you know.
Purdy.
Brock Purdy. Like
Geno Smith.
Geno Smith. It's not, and then, you know, Tom Brady, he's not there anymore. You know, Dak Prescott. These quarterbacks are not super elite. I said Cousins. And I think Tannehill arguably is better than Kirk Cousins and arguably – you know, I would say I would take Tannehill over Dak Prescott. I know that's a conversation, but with all of Dak's turnovers and, you know, Tannehill isn't as turnover prone, especially if he's playing with Kyle Shanahan in San Francisco. I would take that all day long. And I think it works out for both teams.
I would say Ryan Tannehill, you know more of what you're going to get than with a Dak Prescott. Dak, with his injuries on and off the field with Dallas the last couple of years, and, you know, the turnovers this year, just the inconsistencies. Whereas, you know, believe me, I know people on the text line are going to be like, Cincinnati! But, you know, if you look at Ryan Tannehill's entire resume, you know, you don't see consistent trends of multiple turnovers like we've seen from Dak, who led the league in interceptions this year. Yes, I know it's only 1 year, but I mean, that's a pretty big portion of his resume considering, you know, he hasn't been on the field a lot.
With the lopsidedness of talent from the AFC to the NFC, you put Ryan Tannehill in the San Francisco
49ers. He's one of the top quarterbacks.
I think he could easily take that team to at least the NFC championship, if not to the Super Bowl. I truly believe that. I just think a guy like Tannehill that has just enough athletic ability, You put him on this roster with a good offensive line. You know, he played like the Titans run the Shanahan system, you know? So it's not like he would have to learn a completely new playbook. You know, he's going to have better receivers. He's going to have probably not a better run game, but a more versed run game. Like it's going to be a little bit different. He's going to have multiple different backs, multiple different looks that he could kind of audible and check to if he needed it. And on top of that, he's going to have the number one defense in the league. That would be a solid trade for the future of the Titans in this team that's trying to kind of transition from the core that they've had. And it would be good for Ryan Tannehill and the 49ers to kind of get a veteran quarterback in there that I feel like would fit their system perfectly.
So I'm going to read off the quarterbacks in the NFC right now.
Okay, go
Eagles,
ahead.
Eagles, Jalen Hurts. I do think that he is better than Ryan Tannehill. San Francisco, Brock Purdy, Jimmy G, I think Tannehill is better than
yes.
them. Packers, I don't think Aaron Rodgers is going to be on the Packers next year, so let's just say Jordan Love for the fun of this. Ryan Tannehill is better than. Minnesota Vikings, Kirk Cousins, Ryan Tannehill is better than. Los Angeles Rams, interesting. Matt Stafford obviously is hurt. I think Matt Stafford is better,
yes.
but if it is Baker, I think Tannehill is better. New York Giants,
Daniel Jones.
I almost said Daniel White, Mike White, and him combined. Daniel Jones, I think Ryan Tannehill is better than. Geno Smith with Seattle, I think Ryan Tannehill is better than him. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, no more Tom Brady. I don't even know who their backup is right now. I think Tom Brady is better than him. Chicago Bears, Justin Fields. He's a young rookie who I think his ceiling is higher than Ryan Tannehill. I think Ryan Tannehill is better than him right now. New Orleans Saints.
Andy Dalton, Jameis Winston.
I think Ryan Tannehill is better than. Washington Commanders, Heinicke. I think Tannehill is better than. Detroit Lions, Jared Goff. That's a question. I know there's been a big debate between Robbie and Stillman. I think Tannehill could go head-to-head with him. I think probably has a slight edge. Atlanta Falcons, Mariota. We've already seen that play out
that
here.
That already happened here.
And Desmond Ritter, the rookie, better than. Arizona Cardinals, Kyler Murray is still going to be hurt until the beginning of the season, so he hasn't done really anything. Carolina Panthers, Sam Darnold, maybe, still big question mark.
Yeah, because they don't know who's going to be their quarterback.
And then Dak Prescott. Ryan Tannehill is a top two, top three quarterback if he's in the NFC.
I would say easily. He's top five. He's in that 3-4 range, I would say, arguably. I think the ones that are definitely better than him are Stafford and Jalen Hurts. But, I mean, you could argue the Dak Prescott or the Jared Goff. So he's definitely top five. He's definitely taking a team to the playoffs in the NFC. It's just a completely different scenario for a guy mm-hmm. like that when you're playing in the NFC with all these young and unproven quarterbacks that have been getting injured a lot here recently. The NFC is just a wide-open market. And, I mean, you look at the Eagles. I was looking at their roster and all the free agents mm-hmm. they have. I mean, they have a ton of free agents. This Philadelphia Eagles team is not going to be the same team next year. No. I mean, they're going to go for this Super Bowl here in a few weeks. And then after that, you know, they're going to take a step back for sure. So,
well, it's just crazy the drop-off we talk about from the NFC quarterbacks to the AFC quarterbacks, right? You look at just Ryan Tannehill doesn't even really attempt to, like, reach the top five here in the AFC because of all of the young talent that is just on the AFC side. But, you know, a big question in whether Ryan Tannehill will be the quarterback here next year is, what does Ryan Carthon want to do?
Yeah.
You know, who does Mike Vrabel want to hire as his offensive coordinator? Tim Hasselbeck seems to think he knows who will be the next offensive coordinator for the Tennessee Titans. Here was Tim Hasselbeck on Caroline Willie and D-Mace the other day talking about the Titans' new offensive coordinator.
Sense, what is my feel? My feel is that it's Matt Nagy, that it's decided. We'll go through some of these, exercises along the way here. But ultimately, I think he's the offensive coordinator.
That was Tim Hasselbeck earlier this week on Caroline Willie and D-Mace. Tim Hasselbeck is very, very convinced that Matt Nagy is the offensive coordinator for this Tennessee team. I mean, listening to him say that, right, he said a couple times, you know, I don't have any reports, I don't have any inside information on why it would be him, but things are pointing towards he is, whether it's the top candidate or whether it's who they want. And Jim Wyatt came out with a story from the Senior Bowl on the TennesseeTitans.com, and Mike Vrabel, you know, discussed the search for offensive coordinator. And he talked about, you know, when is something along the lines, I need to find the exact quote of something along the lines of when is the exact right opportunity for this, sir. And that made me think of, you know, time frame. Okay, Matt Nagy, Eric Bieniemy, they're still playing.
But, I mean, you I get that. And I understand where Tim's coming from. But, I mean, look at all the other teams that need, you know, offensive coordinators. You know, there's the Titans. There's the Ravens. There's the Rams. There's the Commanders. There's the Colts, the Cowboys, the Cardinals, you know, the Buccaneers.
The Rams hired theirs.
They did?
LaFleur.
Oh, they did. Okay. So, sorry. The Rams have hired one, but there's still a bunch of teams out there that are still looking for their offensive coordinator. I mean, almost a third of the league fired their OC this year. So the fact that only four of them have gotten hired so far out of like the 11 or 12 open jobs that there is still tells me that this is wide open. And yeah, maybe they are waiting until, you know, post Super Bowl, until they can actually get these guys in the building, see what they are. And I think that it kind of goes to show that, you know, Nagy and Bieniemy are legitimate candidates for mm-hmm. this. You know, there was a report that came out the other day that said that, you know, Bieniemy is looking for an offensive coordinator position with a defensive-minded head coach, which kind of points to more of the Commanders, you know, the Titans, maybe the Ravens, especially if they get Lamar Jackson back. Those are really enticing jobs for him. So, you know, I think that they are in the mix, but I don't think that they are the favorites until they get into the building. So I would say hold off on that. They're just waiting on these guys to get done and wrap up with the Super Bowl. They're contenders, but I wouldn't overreact to them just waiting to get them to an in-person interview.
Well, and something else to note is there's two head coaching positions that still also have not been filled. The Arizona Cardinals, Monty Austin Fort, who was a candidate for the GM position here and with the Tennessee Titans for a couple years after coming from the Patriots to here. He's the new GM down in Arizona. They still have not named a head coach, so there'll be another offensive coordinator who that head coach will then hire. And then also, what the heck are the Indianapolis Colts doing up there with their head coaching position? Very, very bizarre 12-hour, 13-hour interviews with Jim Irsay. But hey, I guess we'll just keep waiting and seeing. But let's take a look at the AFC South, Junie. What teams are trending upwards? What teams are staying the same? And what teams do we just have a big question mark? Coming up next on Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Michelle Knezovic, Junie Riddle in for Chase McCabe today. Nick Keezer. Junie, honing in specifically on the AFC South and what this division could look like next year. The Tennessee Titans have a new general manager. The quarterback position, the roster position, still has somewhat of a question mark on it, but the offensive coordinator position will be a big testament on, you know, where they decide to go with this offense. I don't know how much it'll tell us because they keep everything lock and key over there. You never hear anything coming out of that building. Even, you know, people who are interviewing for this offensive coordinator position, usually you'll hear, you know, an agent say something to an Adam Schefter or post it on Twitter or social media or something like that, that X, Y, and Z candidate interviewed for the offensive coordinator job here. But really, there hasn't been many reports surrounding this organization. There was the Matt Nagy and Eric Bieniemy one that said the Tennessee Titans had reached out. And then there was the Tim Kelly one that he actually did interview. And then Charles London that he did interview as well. But there really hasn't been anything coming out of here regarding the offensive coordinator position.
And I think that kind of goes to show that they're just not ready to make a decision. Going back to what I said last segment, I really believe that they want to take Eric Bieniemy and Matt Nagy seriously. Mm-hmm. And I just don't think that at this point in time that those guys are going to give you a full-fledged interview until they're wrapped up with the Super Bowl. You know, some guys are willing to interview, you know, while their teams are in the playoffs, and some guys aren't. And I just think that these guys are waiting till their season wraps up with what they're trying to accomplish and bringing another ring into that organization. And on top of that, I don't know. I just – I feel like the Titans like to keep things like this in-house, especially when Mike Vrabel has an imprint on it. Mm-hmm. You know, he's somebody that likes to keep his secrets tucked away. And if he wants something out, it's going to get out. And if he doesn't want it out, 9 times out of 10, it's not getting out.
He hides his secrets in his hair. Name that movie, Mean Girls.
I don't do I look like I watch Mean Girls to you?
No, but I know you have a wife, so.
I don't know. I don't know if she likes Mean Girls either.
Well, switching to, you know, we talked to the Tennessee Titans. If you take a look at the Houston Texans earlier this week, they hired DeMeco Ryans as their head coach. I think a great move. He's coming from the San Francisco 49ers defensive coordinator. Very successful there. He was one of the top young candidates, the new shiny toy of people who wanted to hire them. We mentioned earlier in the show that the Broncos wanted to hire him. That was their first choice, but he will be heading to the Houston Texans. They have the second overall pick. You could assume that they probably will try to trade up to get a quarterback in Bryce Young. So that is definitely an upgrade in Houston, right? New head coach and potentially a new young quarterback in Bryce Young. You've got the Jaguars coming off a playoff run. It's going to be heading into the second year together, Doug Peterson, Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence's third year in the league. They're getting Calvin Ridley, a young team that definitely made their imprint known in this division and in the AFC. And then you have the Colts.
They're the mystery box. The way that we look at Trey Lance and what kind of quarterback he's going to be is the same way that I look at the Indianapolis Colts. The potential is there. But is there something outside that's going to mess it up? I don't know where it is with the Colts. And we had mentioned Aaron Rodgers potentially to the Colts. And as I'm sitting here kind of thinking about that, you know, with all these coaching interviews and they don't even know who's going to run the team and they're still looking for an OC. I don't know what the Colts have in plan whatsoever.
You know, I look at Chris Ballard, for example, and I truly thought when Frank Reich was fired that Chris Ballard would also be on the chopping block, but clearly he's not. You know, I look at it and it's like, okay, clearly the quarterback out of his prime Band-Aid solution isn't it for you all. I mean, Chris Ballard hasn't drafted a quarterback.
I understand that, but if they go make a play at Aaron Rodgers, that's different than them going and getting a Matt Ryan. That's different than them going to get a Carson Wentz. That's even different than them going to get a Phillip Rivers. Because, you know, when they went out and got Phillip Rivers, I mean he was pretty done. He had a decent season in Indianapolis. They made the playoffs. But, you know, at that time, you know, Indy had arguably the best offensive line. They had a little bit more weapons. You know, Jack Doyle hadn't retired. T.Y. Hilton was still there playing at a decent level. So, right now, with what the Colts are going to do is really going to dictate where their future goes. This is another team that this is a turning point for this organization. And I think Ballard's on his last leg with Irsay. I'm surprised that he didn't get canned this year, to be honest with you. But the overall trajectory of the AFC South, I think the Jaguars, you know, although they did play a last place schedule this year, you know, I think this year was a confidence booster for them, especially getting the playoff win, the big comeback, you know, going into Kansas City and being, you know, relatively competitive. You know, I think that within itself, you're getting Calvin Ridley back. If he can come back and be 80%, 90% of the player he was before the suspension. I mean, you're talking about a team that should be the favorites in this division. They have the young quarterback that's emerging as one of the next elite quarterbacks in this league that none of the other teams in this division have.
And also a Super Bowl winning head coach in Doug Peterson, which has been the difference for Trevor Lawrence and just the culture and everything surrounding this team. I mean, the players have not been shy to say, yeah, it was majorly a mess before he got here.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, yeah, with Urban Meyer going to the NFL with his first ever stint in the pros. I mean, he absolutely made a fool of himself. That'll never happen again. But let's look at the Houston Texans. I think the Houston Texans are the most interesting team in this division right now. I mean, you're talking about they have 2 first-round picks this year. They got 2 first-round picks next year. They are 4th in the NFL with open cap space. You know, they just went and got a new young head coach that I think is going to be very successful. I'm a big fan of D'Amico Ryans. And the fact that he decided to go to Houston instead of going to Denver, where Denver kind of already has its core, and Denver has a good roster. They just need a really good coach and an offensive system that's a little bit more suited for Russell Wilson, unlike what Nathaniel Hackett was trying to provide. The fact that he wanted to go to Houston, his former team that he played for as a professional, and wants to take on and be a part of this full rebuild, really goes to show me his confidence on what he wants to do. I think the Houston Texans are in a really interesting position, and I think that they can go from worst to competitive a lot quicker than what people think. I mean, we said the same thing about the Jaguars last year when they had all the cap space and they had the number one overall pick.
That was last year, people.
Exactly. I mean, they had the number one. They were the worst team in the NFL last year with Trevor Lawrence. They get a new head coach. They get, some extra help in free agency. They spent the most money in league history in free agency last year. And now look at them. They just took over the division this year. So Houston, if they make the right moves, they could kind of be in that same conversation too, going out and getting their young quarterback, which I believe, since D'Amico Ryans, former Alabama Crimson Tide, I believe that will be Bryce Young.
Oh, I believe that it'll be Bryce Young too. I think that they trade up to get the first overall pick. And Joe Rexford had something really interesting he said this morning, just talking about the AFC South. He's like, I think you could make a case for any of these teams to be first or last, or no, sorry, the Tennessee Titans to be first or last in this division next year. And I was like, yep, I pretty much agree with that. But, you know, speaking of the AFC South, we talked about the Colts. This report is coming out just about 5 minutes ago from Ian Rapoport. The Colts are nearly done with their second round of head coaching interviews and are considering a rare round three as well. If they go that route, they'd pare down the list to a select few finalists before making their decision on their next head coach. GM Chris Ballard and owner Jim Irsay are conducting one of the more thorough searches we've seen. Lots of candidates and long in-person interviews, around 12 hours in some cases. So another round would make sure they're comfortable with their pick and that they would fit with the team.
You know what that tells me? Chris Ballard is really scared for his job, and he knows if he messes this one up, that he's getting the boot after this year. If they hire a dud in Indianapolis, Chris Ballard is done, and he knows it.
Chris Ballard and Jim Irsay being very thorough up in Indianapolis with maybe a potential third round of interviews to find their next head coach, or maybe they'll just stay with Jeff Saturday. Who knows? We'll be following them along the entire NFL. But coming up next, we're going to be joined with Mike Wilson. We're going to talk a little college basketball. We're going to talk a little Vols. They fell to Florida last night in Gainesville, an unranked Florida team. What is happening with this inconsistency with this Vols team? Great wins, bad losses. We'll talk to Mike Wilson next, coming up on Chase and Michelle. 102.5, 106.3 The Game.